I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show for you tonight, as promised, jam-packed with information. And for those in the USA and Canada, you can call in questions or comments toll-free, and that's 888-228-4494, 888-228-4494, and worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. I'd like to begin tonight by thanking everyone who has written in with some wonderful comments about the show and, as well, very, very interesting questions. And over the course of time, I've put together some of the most outstanding questions, in my opinion, and we're going to get heavy tonight, and we're going to start off with, I think, a great question that's on a lot of people's minds, and that is how to cure depression caused by world events. Proper perspective of the world is to recognize the imbalance, but not be judgmental. All is in perfect harmony. According to Mother Mary, channeled through Jean Hatch from the College of Christ Consciousness, I'll quote, "Acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. It is beyond forgiveness, because forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. Whenever I look at it from being the creator and not the victim, I see that acceptance says that all is happening perfectly, just as it is, because whatever is happening enables us to grow. If I sincerely look at it as perfect, just the way it is, I immediately move into the energy of love, trust, and peace. Then there is no longer any judgment. It is at that point that I reclaim my power, and then use my power to change the outer circumstance if I choose to do so. By this is meant the original perceived negative circumstance does not come with built-in meaning. If you put a positive spin on it, in time, there will be a positive experience. The proper spiritual perspective on the dark side and its effects is to be aware of it, not in fear of it, not depressed by it, but to unconditionally love the world and put a positive spin in all you encounter, while acting on your excitement and passion to the best of your ability. Bashar has said that you become more of who you are, you will become more aware of the dark side too, as the process of self-realization is one of inclusion, not exclusion. I dare anyone to submit to me a positive outcome of judgment. I don't believe there is one. Thus, a clear distinction between judgment and discernment. Discernment is the ability to perceive what is or is not best for your soul growth, and what is or is not appropriate for your being. When you blame, criticize, or justify, you are always in a state of victimhood. We have been trained to identify perceived wrong and be against it, to forcibly overpower it. This in turn leads to its perpetuation. When you understand that we create our outer experience both as individuals and as humanity, you begin to see that changing the inner beliefs and intentions will change the outer experience. We are our government. All the theys in the world are us. Create the intent, a belief you want to experience, and if enough of us do that, the belief will reach critical mass and manifest. In addition, the laws of the universe will also operate to balance and create new situations due to the law of cause and effect. Do not think that the dark side is not subject to universal laws. In the short term, this perspective is sometimes hard to keep in mind, especially when fear is most people's chief motivator. The process all starts with taking responsibility. Being rescued or saved also reflects victimhood if it is not coupled with effort. Also, please note that the higher vibration of judgment and blame is observation. The proper spiritual perspective also has huge benefits in the area of health. From Archangel Michael, I'll quote, "As you feel the truth and perfection of who you are flowing into your being, allow your heart to open fully and to transmit the energies of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude. Unconditional love accepts all and loves all. Unconditional love is based in total self-acceptance. For all is beautiful and created from the great love of the Source, and all is an expression of the love of the Source. Babaji has said to love man is to love God. So as you align with your perfection, you align with the template of perfection that was placed in your DNA. Gratitude is the mirror image of the divine. For when you can look at all that you have created in your life and say that it is good, then you are truly working with the perfection of who you are. And when you express this gratitude, then your words and feelings flow to heaven as a blessing that flows back to you with more blessings and love. This has been scientifically proven. Tests on HIV-positive patients show that feelings of love, gratitude, and appreciation created 300,000 times the resistance they had without those feelings. As hard as it may seem to keep this focus, it is the way to total immunity from disease. These positive emotions are the antidote to the dysfunctional emotions that create disease in the first place. I refer the listeners to the Infinity Codes of 2007 for a complete meditation from Archangel Michael." And now for our next question. What is coincidence? There is no such thing as an accident. Nothing happens by accident. When there appears to be such, what you are recognizing are overlapping incidents, coincidence, that describe and define the patterns and paths you have chosen yourselves to be. Synchronicity, coincidence, is your conscious perception in a physiological time track, spatial reality, of the simultaneous manifestation of the multidimensional existence of all. Therefore, to put it in your practical terminology, observe the following. Give yourselves the opportunity to recognize that what we will now begin to delineate is that in order to understand consciously that you are in control of your lives, you need to do but two things, and that is it. Number one, everything is synchronicity. Everything is synchronicity. Now, what this means is this. As you are driving, as you are walking, as you are doing anything in your day-to-day lives, remember that every single object, every single person, every single sound, every single interaction, every crack in the street, every leaf on a tree, the number of the leaves, the color of the leaves are all there for a reason. No accidents. Now recognize, therefore, that while certain interactions, while certain objects or certain people may not have a strong direct relationship to you in a particular given moment, it still does not mean that they are not there for a reason. They may have more conscious meaning to the person just ahead of you or the person just behind you, but because you are also there, you are playing the part of being willing to act and interact with all the other individuals. And their degree of importance as to their relationship to what is going on is also enhanced by your presence, just like your degree of importance is enhanced by theirs. Therefore, begin to be fascinated by how well orchestrated everything is that you are participating in on an unconscious level. Look at it this way. another analogy. You have the idea of a rotating propeller. It rotates at a certain frequency, a certain rate. You have also a strobe light. If you are in a dark room, if the propeller is rotating, if your strobe light, along with everyone else's strobe light, is synchronized to do the rotation of the propeller, such that when you decide to turn your strobe light on, it begins to flash on, off, on, off. Whenever you decide to turn it on, that will be the first position you will see the propeller in, because your light is synchronized to the rotation of the propeller. That will be the only position you see the propeller in. Now, if you were independently able to see your particular synchronization, and someone else was independently able to see his, and thus your strobe and his strobe did not clash, so to speak, then he would be observing the same propeller in a different position. Same propeller, different aspect entirely. The same single event that appears to be completely and totally different simply because of the rate and the timing of the frequency of each individual strobe. Everything is the same thing. The only reason you might see the same one thing as different is because of the rate and timing of your strobe of consciousness in physical reality. Everything is one thing. That is the first point. Everything is synchronicity. Everything is there for a reason. Point number two, act upon the opportunity that your conscious recognition of everything as synchronicity brings you with integrity. Act upon all opportunities synchronicity brings you. That is all you have to do. One, recognize that everything is synchronicity. Two, act upon it with integrity. Those two ideas are all you need to do to create the life you desire. That is it, period. That is all there is to physical reality. Everything is synchronicity. Act like it. That is all that is needed to be in complete harmonic resonance with your conscious understanding of all that is as it expresses itself as physical reality. 1, 2. Acting like it will always generate more conscious awareness of number one, which will always then give you more opportunities to act like it, point number two. They are self-perpetuating. One breeds two, breeds one, breeds two, accelerating into infinity. Understand that everything is synchronicity, including negative synchronicity. You always attract the ideas you believe you are willing to act upon in the manner you are willing to act upon them. Negative occurrences are still synchronicity because they are fulfillments of your own negative beliefs. You are acting in that manner. What we are saying is that acting with integrity and positive attitudes always will consciously maintain the connection. That is what will allow you to perceive the connection as an acceleration and not a stagnation. Negative synchronicity creates victimhood. Next question. What is the limbo state? Looking at the limbo state, where instead of things humming along synchronistically, they seem to be a sort of a standstill, as if your life has slowed down, is the negative way to look at it. So let's look at it from the positive point of view. You will get the same effect, the focus on the now moment, if you realize that while the film is still going at high speed, you have accelerated. Your ability to see the frames has accelerated and sped up to match the speed of the film. In a sense, this is what many of you are now doing. You are accelerating your perceptive abilities up to the speed of your creations. And so it seems as if things are standing still. It seems as if they have slowed down and nothing is happening. But understand there is a very profound difference in how you look at this. If you look at it as if your lives have slowed down, as if the film has slowed down, then you usually wait around for something to happen and do not take action, do not move in life. However, if you understand that the only reason things seem to be standing still is because you have caught up to the speed of your creation, then you can understand that that point of view is now a point of power. You are in perfect equilibrium with the rate at which you are creating your reality. What this means is as follows. When you are in perfect equilibrium with the rate at which you are creating your reality, moment by moment by moment, then that means that everything around you is moving at the same rate. Inertia is balanced, and therefore everything has the equal ability to be moved by you in the direction you prefer. They all have the same rate of speed. You are all moving parallel, synchronized to each other. There is no great inertia to overcome, therefore. Your motion relative to each other. You and the events in your life are now moving at the same pace, and you can gently push them in a direction you want. So this limbo state, this time of seeming standstill, where it seems as if you have done all you can do, is actually the time when things can happen most magically, most quickly. The only reason it may not seem to be doing so is because you are standing there waiting for something to happen. Allow yourself to look at the limbo state from this point of view. Truly see your point of power. All you have to do when you arrive at that point is act in your direction of preference. Act as the representation of the reality you prefer to have. Things will fall into place in your lives immediately, happening synchronistically. Now, I do not say this to set you up, but the only thing that would cause you to hesitate is perhaps when you see that when you are in that state where it is so easy to create the reality you want, some of you may be afraid of the power you finally realize you have and back off a bit from it because you will realize in that moment how powerful you actually are. What you have called the limbo state is your point of power. It is living in the present, in the now. You are, shall I say, allegorically about that far, about two fingers held very close together, from having everything you want. All you have to do is go that extra little step. Of course, for many of you, and again, not to set you up, that last little step is the most difficult. You have been taught over and over again, it can't be that easy, I can't be that powerful. But you are. It is your nature. It is the very fabric of your existence to be the power itself. It is your nature. It is the very fabric of your existence to be the power itself. Once again, the present is your point of power. In the limbo state, you are not waiting. You are not at a standstill. You are at infinite speeds. Move in the direction you prefer, and all will automatically, synchronistically, fall into place. In your own personal world, things will change. Just because there is a collective limbo state doesn't mean you cannot have everything you desire in your own personal reality now. The more you create the reality you desire to live in now, the faster you will represent a living example to everyone else as to the type of reality they can create collectively also. Remember, one individual can have an impact over the entire planet. You've seen it done many times. And from Deepak Chopra's book, The Way of the Wizard, I quote, "All the power and fulfillment humans for years exist in the present moment. In the now is tremendous energy, more than the mind can imagine. Nothing could be closer, yet nothing slips away faster. That is the mystery and the paradox. To solve it, realize that you are this moment. All the power that is present here must be found within. Everyone has some days full of energy, excitement, and optimism, and other days marked by fatigue, confusion, and pessimism. What makes the difference? Some people think the answer lies in bodily cycles, or the play of random forces, or fate, or luck. But the wizards say the answer lies in your ability to be present. When you are in the moment, you touch the source of life. Time itself flows from this moment and no other. Therefore, if you want to ride the crest of time, you will need all the energy you can get, and that energy is found within the moment. One can't help but wonder how the present moment ever got away. You can answer this yourself with a simple exercise. Sit for a second and consider how memory works. When you see someone's face but can't quite remember his name, what do you do? If you struggle to remember, the very effort seems to shut down the power of recall. But we've all experienced how a forgotten name or fact will suddenly come to us when we're not trying to remember at all. Just letting go of the whole business seems to activate the power of recall. Desire works the same way, although fewer people are aware of its mechanics. because we all want things, it's easy to fall into the trap of constantly working, worrying, and struggling to get what we want. Yet the wizards say that if you let go, the mechanics of desire take care of themselves. This seems mysterious. But consider this. Do you really know how lost memories return to you? Your conscious mind can't force you to remember things, yet the mind is quite capable of retrieving anything and everything it has ever known. In much the same way, your conscious mind can't fathom how the universe makes desires come true. And just like the person struggling to recall a name but getting nowhere, people thrash wildly to fulfill their desires, never realizing that effort is the problem, not the solution. At this moment, you are a wizard. You are perfected in spirit. You have never separated from God or nature. All that has happened is that in your struggle not to feel pain, you started to block the present moment. Memory and desire veil the spirit. They do so because long ago you began to fear for your security here on this earth. Insecurity is the motive for attacking the earth. For if we trusted that we are nourished and upheld, none of us would be quite so hysterical about surviving. Trust in trust. Have faith in faith. That is the only solution when you have lost trust and faith. In the heart of ourselves, each of us is nothing but trust. Being and love are also innate parts of ourselves, but it is trust that allows us to breathe easy, to accept the earth's spirit as our own. And the technique for remembering this is as simple as the technique for remembering anything else. Allow yourself to stop believing that struggle is the answer. Appreciate in silence the life that is meeting you at every moment. With silent acceptance comes the tremendous energy that is hidden in the present. And in that energy are abundance, peace, intelligence, and creativity. All these are the gifts of silence wrapped inside the spirit of the earth. And our next question, what do you mean by following your excitement? When you follow your passion or your excitement, you are in alignment with your higher self. Excitement is your physical translation of the vibratory energy that represents the path you chose to be in this life. So when something excites you more than anything else, that excitement is there to tell you three things. First, this is who and what you are. The circumstance and the situation that comes into your life at any given moment that excites you more than any other is letting you know, this is who you are. Act on it. You see, excitement is the sign that many of you ask for. What can I do in life? Why am I here? What is my mission? Oh, universe, please give me a sign. Hey, look over here. Here's a very exciting thing you could be doing. Don't bother me now. I'm looking for my purpose. I'm too busy searching for my mission in life. I'm supposed to be serious about this. But you see, the things that come with excitement are the answers, are the signals, are the signposts. That's what excitement is. It's tapping you squarely on the shoulder saying, this is what you want to be doing right now. The reason it excites you is because it is aligned with the idea of who you are. That's what excitement is. The second thing it tells you is that because it is who you are, if you act on it with trust and conviction, it will be the thing that can be the most effortless thing you will ever do. Because it is who you are being yourself, and so, of course, it will be effortless. The only time you have struggle and pain is when you are trying to be someone you are not, again, fighting the flow. Buying into the definitions of what other individuals say you ought to be. The third thing that tells you when a situation comes along is that, it is more exciting than the other, is that this thing, the thing that if you do it will support you in the most abundant way to allow you to keep doing it in a more expanded, ever spiraling way. Therefore, you will automatically be able to attract the opportunities to allow you to do the thing that excites you the most. Excitement is the thread that leads to all other excitement. as long as you're acting on the things that excite you the most with integrity, which means functioning as a whole idea and not stopping to think of yourself as a collection of parts or compartments that are scattered here and there. Recognize that all the different things that have your attention are all part of the same whole idea and will all fall into place automatically when you act on the one that represents your strongest intention. Then you can flow. That is focus and trust. That is allowance. That is willingness to understand that by definition, everything that excites you must fit and will have a perfect timing in which to do so. What if I don't really get excited about anything? All right, the idea of wanting something to be exciting. What's wrong with right now being exciting? Do you remember the question we asked all of you as to what was the most important thing of all? And the answer was, where I am right now. Yes, the thing you are doing right now. Therefore, if you truly allow yourself to understand that what you are doing right now is and must be, by definition, the most important thing of all at any given moment, then you will start looking at it that way. When your attitude changes, you will start realizing that you are where you are for a reason, and start allowing yourself to get out of the moment what you really need to, rather than assuming that this moment contains nothing for you that would generate excitement. The idea is to face your world with a childlike fascination. Then you will begin to discover that a lot more things you take for granted as being mundane are actually quite a bit more exciting than you thought, and you will be able to act on them because you now see them for the excitement they are. Many of you have very thick skins by this time, and so things that could be exciting to you do not have much of an effect on you. You may not even be able to recognize your own excitement because of the thickness of that shell. But start walking through it. Allow yourselves to break through it by simply breaking through the conventions of your society. That will allow the skin to become much thinner and allow the excitement to penetrate much more easily. Then it will be obvious in which direction lies your excitement and your path. Again, the idea is to act upon your imagination. Here's a very simple mechanism. All of you, this will work for anything and everything. It's very simple. Your imagination is the template, the blueprint. If you conjure up in your imagination an image, a vision of how you prefer to be, then take whatever situation is going on in your life, hand it to the you have conjured up, who is representative of the excited person you would prefer to be, and watch how the you in your imagination handles the situation you have given to it. Then, copy it. You will get the effect that it gets in its excited state of handling all things in that excited way. That's what your imagination is for, to copy. It gives you the picture, the blueprint, the path, the methodology, the ritual, whatever will work best for you. Create an image and mimic the image. Then you will be that person and you will have that life automatically. Exploring your threshold of believability. Let's do a little exercise, one which will assist you in recognizing where the threshold of your believability is. First of all, begin by creating for yourself in any way comfortable for you. It does not have to be very complicated. It can be anything at all. That which represents the idealized way you would prefer to live. Have a picture of yourself doing something you would enjoy doing and being supported fully in that lifestyle. Not having a shadow of a doubt that you are supported, truly feeling that's the way you live. That's the way you live and everything is just fine. Understand it as the idealized essence. We are not asking you to have a picture that is absolutely structurally rigidized. We're talking about the lifestyle and essence in the way you feel. Have that picture in your mind with that idealized state, and then I will ask you a series of questions. Do you have that picture or feeling in mind? All right now. Be very honest with yourself, and also with me for now, in these answers. Do you honestly think that within, oh, say, 10 of your years, will that be enough time for you to be able to create that way of life? Yes. Do you believe you'll be living that way in a month? No. Do you believe you can be living in the way you prefer to be living, no matter how that is, in 1 year? Pause. Pause usually means no. Do you believe you can do it in 3 years? I believe I could do it then. All right. Are you sure? Can you really feel it? A year, if I put all my attention on just doing that, yes. All right, why would you do otherwise? Why would you have to put your attention on anything you do not want to do? I guess I think I have to take care of a lot of other details. But understand, when you are doing what truly represents the vibration of your reality, all the details take care of themselves. Not that you will be doing anything. It is simply that when you live the essential way, when you live in synchronous harmony with the path you chose to be, everything is already on that path in the format it needs to be, and will fall into place as it needs to fall to let you continue being the person you chose to be. You will automatically and effortlessly and coincidentally attract into your life all the tools necessary to allow the details to be taken care of. It's all one package. You see, the difficulty you're having is in thinking that your life is a series of separated ideas rather than one homogeneous event in which everything that needs to be done to allow you to be the person you need to be will be taken care of automatically. The things that don't get done, if you're truly being who you know you need to be, don't need to be done to allow you to be that person. You follow me? You can also analyze the obstacles in your mind that make you think it takes longer. If there is no validity to some of these ideas, then you can restate the time frame and make it closer to the present. The outward form is only a reflection of the inner knowing. When you create and generate the vibration of the inner knowing, this is the way I am, then your outer reality shows that to you. You don't get the outer reality first before you create inner belief. You always get in physical reality only what you already believe to be the most likely reality you'll get, and only when you choose to truly believe with your whole heart and soul. How will a person know that he is a seeker? Well, from the way of the wizard, I quote from Deepak, the inward marks of the seeker are these. Giving becomes motivated by selfless love and compassion, wanting nothing in return, not even gratitude. Intuition becomes a trustworthy guide to action, replacing strict rationality. One catches glimpses of an unseen world as the higher reality. Intimations of God and immortality appear. These signs will be accompanied by growing enjoyment of solitude, by self-reliance in place of social approval, by stirrings of being, and by a willingness to trust. Addictive patterns will start to disappear. Meditation and prayer become parts of daily life. Yet as all these spiritual manifestations pull you away from the material world, you will find, paradoxically, a deeper connection to nature, more comfort in the body, and easier acceptance of other people. This is because spirit is not the opposite of matter. Spirit is everything, and its appearance in your life will make all things better, even things that appear to be opposites. How will a person know that he is a seer? Again, from the way of the wizard. The seer differs from the seeker in no longer having to pick and choose. The seeker is still involved in an illusion as he goes around saying, this is where God is, this is where God isn't. The seer, on the other hand, sees God in life itself. The long inner war is over at last, and rest comes to the warrior. In place of struggle, you experience all your desires naturally and effortlessly coming true. There are no outward signs to mark who are the seers among us, but inwardly they feel open and content. They allow others to be who they will be, which is the highest form of love. They put up no obstruction to other people and events, and they have surrendered any small sense of I. How will I recognize that I am one with Spirit? spirit is the state of the miraculous, which will unfold to you in three stages. First, you will experience miracles in the state called cosmic consciousness. Every material event will have a spiritual cause. Every local happening will also be taking place on the stage of the universe. Your slightest wish will cause cosmic forces to bring about its fulfillment. As wonderful as that sounds, it is not such an advanced state, for long before you reach cosmic consciousness, you will be used to having your desires spontaneously come true. Second, you will perform miracles in the state called divine consciousness. This is the state of pure creativity, in which you fuse with God's power, whereby he makes worlds and all that happens in those worlds. This power comes from nothing God does, it is just his light of awareness. Like a rich golden glow, you will see the divine awareness shining through everything your eyes behold. The world becomes illuminated from within, and there is no doubt that matter is simply spirit made manifest. In divine consciousness, you will see yourself as the creator, not the created, the giver of life, not the receiver. Third, you will become the miracle, in the state known as unity consciousness. Now, any distinction between creator and created has vanished. The spirit within you totally merges with the spirit and everything else. Your return to innocence is all-enveloping, because like the baby who touches the wall of the crib and feels only himself, you will see every action as spirit pouring into spirit. You will live in complete knowingness and trust. And although you will seem to reside still in a body, it will be only a grain of being on the shores of the infinite ocean of being that is yourself. Some words of wisdom now from Sri Ramana Maharshi, one of the great sages of India, concerning what is the proper role of work and renunciation. Devotee, I am inclined to give up my job and remain always with Sri Bhagavan. Bhagavan is always with you and in you. The self in you is Bhagavan. It is that you should realize. Devotee, but I feel the urge to give up all attachments and renounce the world as a sannyasin. Bhagavan, renunciation does not mean outward divestment of clothes and so on or abandonment of home. True renunciation is the renunciation of desires, passions, and attachments. Devotee, but single-minded devotion to God may not be possible unless one leaves the world. Bhagavan, no, one who truly renounces actually merges in the world and expands his love to embrace the whole world. It would be more correct to describe the attitude of the devotee as universal love than as abandoning the home to don the ochre robe. Devotee, at home the bonds of affection are too strong. Bhagavan, he who renounces when he is not yet ripe for it only creates new bonds. Devotee, is not renunciation the supreme means of breaking attachments? Bhagavan, is not renunciation the supreme means of breaking attachment? It may be so for one whose mind is already free from entanglements, but you have not grasped the deeper import of renunciation. Great souls who have abandoned the life of the world have done so not out of aversion to family life, but because of their large-hearted and all-embracing love for all mankind and all creatures. When you really feel that equal love for all, when your heart has so expanded as to embrace the whole of creation, you will certainly not feel like giving up this or that. You will simply drop off from secular life as a ripe fruit does from the branch of a tree. You will feel that the whole world is your home. He also explained that it is not the work done that is an obstacle to sadhana, but only the attitude of mind in which it is done. And that is possible, it is possible to continue one's normal avocation only without attachment. The feeling I work is the obstacle, he said in Maharshi's gospel. Ask yourself who works. Remember who you are. Then the work will not bind you. It will go on automatically. In Day-to-Day with Bhagavan, a fuller explanation is recorded. It is possible to perform all the activities of life with detachment and regard only the self as real. It is wrong to suppose that if one is fixed in the self, one's duties in life will not be properly performed. It is like an actor. He dresses and acts and even feels the part he is playing, but he knows really that his is not that character, but someone else in real life. In the same way, why should the body consciousness or the feeling, I am the body, disturb you once you know for certain that you are not the body but the self? Nothing that the body does should shake you from abidance in the self. Such abidance will never interfere with the proper and effective discharge of whatever duties the body has, any more than the actor's being aware of his real status in life interferes with his acting a part on the stage. Bhagavan. The life of action need not be renounced. If you meditate for an hour or two every day, you can then carry on with your duties. If you meditate in the right manner, then the current of mind induced will continue to flow even in the midst of your work. It is as though there were two ways of expressing the same idea. The same line which you take in meditation will be expressed in your activities. Devotee, what will be the result of doing that? Bhagavan. As you go on, you will find that your attitude towards people, events, and objects will gradually change. Your actions will tend to follow your meditation of their own accord. A man should surrender the personal selfishness which binds him to this world. Giving up the false self is the true renunciation. Devotee, how is it possible to become selfless while leading a life of worldly activity? Bhagavan, there is no conflict between work and wisdom. Devotee, do you mean that one can continue all the old activities in one's profession, for instance, and at the same time get enlightenment? Bhagavan, why not? But in that case, one will not think that it is the old personality which is doing the work, because one's consciousness will gradually become transformed until it enters in that which is beyond the little self. What exactly is this self of which you speak? If what you say is true, there must be another self in me. Sri Ramana, can a man be possessed of two identities, two selves? To understand this matter, it is first necessary for a man to analyze himself, because it has long been his habit to think as others think. He has never faced his I in the true manner. He has not a correct picture of himself. He has too long identified himself with the body and the brain. Therefore, I tell you to pursue this inquiry, who am I? You ask me to describe the self to you? What can be said? It is that out of which the sense of the personal I arises and into which it will have to disappear. Devotee, disappear? How can one lose the feeling of one's personality? Sri Ramana, the first and foremost of all thoughts, the primal evil thought in the mind of every man, is the thought I. It is only after the birth of this thought that any other thoughts can arise at all. It is only after the first personal pronoun, I, has arisen in the mind that the second personal pronoun, you, can make its appearance. If you could mentally follow the I thread until it led you back to its source, you would discover that just as it is the first thought to appear, so it is the last to disappear. This is a matter which can be experienced. Devotee. You mean that it is possible to conduct such a mental investigation into oneself? Sri Ramana. Certainly, it is possible to go inwards until the last thought, I, gradually vanishes. Devotee, what is then left? Will a man then become quite unconscious, or will he become an idiot? Sri Ramana. No, on the contrary, he will attain that consciousness which is immortal, and he will become truly wise when he has awakened to his true self, which is the real nature of man. Devotee, but surely the sense of I must also pertain to that. Sri Ramana. The sense of I pertains to the person, the body, and brain. When a man knows his true self for the first time, something else arises from the depths of his being and takes possession of him. That something is behind the mind. It is infinite, divine, and eternal. Some people call it the kingdom of heaven. Others call it the soul, and others again nirvana, and Hindus call it liberation. You may give it what name you wish. When this happens, a man has not really lost himself, rather he has found himself. Unless and until a man embarks on this quest of true self, doubt and uncertainty will follow his footsteps throughout life. The greatest kings and statesmen try to rule others when in their heart of hearts they know they cannot rule themselves. Yet the greatest power is at the command of the man who has penetrated to his inmost depth. What is the use of knowing about everything else when you do not yet know who you are? Men avoid this inquiry into the true self, but what else is there so worthy to be undertaken? What is the technique taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi? The technique taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi is called the Vichara and is as follows. Get in a meditative posture and do some deep breathing. Then place with focus the thought I as a spot in the center of your forehead. Put your full consciousness in this spot. Then repeatedly ask the question, who am I? Then state the following, I am not my body. Pause. I am not my internal organs. Pause. I am not my thoughts. Pause. I am not this spot. Pause. What spot? Then feel the experience. There is no answer to who am I, as it can only be experienced. The great Sri Swami Satchidananda once said that true philosophy is that which neither the speaker nor the listener truly understands. And it is true that that which we would most like to speak about, there are no words for. I refer the listeners to Sri Ramana Maharshi's book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. And to conclude our show this evening, by popular request, the topic will be self-empowerment. There are 10 fundamental concepts which relate to the complete understanding of this issue. First, the universe was created with unconditional love. This frequency is the frequency that your higher self is in alignment with. Second, your experience in third-dimensional reality is based on your thoughts, beliefs, and definitions. Your outer reality is a mere reflection. Third, you are 100% responsible for your experience. Responsible doesn't mean you are to blame, it means you have the ability to respond. Because you created it, you have the power to fix it. Blaming, complaining, and justification all create victimhood. Fourth, all events are inherently neutral. We place value judgments on external events. Fifth, thought creates. Sixth, negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance. It is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Seventh, when you run energy through positive beliefs which are in alignment with your higher self, the results are the positive emotions, love, joy, excitement, magic, and peace. When you run energy through negative beliefs, which are not in alignment with your higher self, the results are negative emotions like hate, anger, negative synchronicity, and disharmony. Eighth, when you incarnate in this dimension, you have four tasks. Function in 3D, become aware that thoughts take time to manifest, become aware of your illusion, and become one with your higher self. Illusion is all based in fear. There is only one vibration, love. Fear is the illusion of the absence of love. All fear is based on false judgment. This is either self-judgment, like guilt or shame, or outward judgment. In order to conquer fear, you have to conquer illusion. Thus, personal sovereignty, or coming into your power, cross-connects with healing disease. This is because disease cannot exist without judgment, and when we function at a level of consciousness without judgment, disease cannot exist. When the earth ascends into the next dimension, disease will not exist. Ninth, there are only four laws in the universe. One, you exist. The all is one, and the one is all. What you put out is what you get back. And lastly, everything changes, even the fourth law, which turns to stasis and creates the first three laws. The third law is commonly known as the law of attraction. Tenth, acceptance is the higher vibration of judgment. It is beyond forgiveness because forgiveness implies that something has been done wrong. Acceptance says that all is happening perfectly just as it is because whatever is happening enables us to grow. This moves us into the energy of love, trust, and peace. And now a quote from Mary, Mother of Jesus, as channeled by Jean Hatch. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or expressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. Over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. This information is consistent with other extraterrestrial information concerning the fact that thought creates and that all disease is created through dysfunctional emotions. The public is starting to understand this concept through information like that in The Secret. Regardless of other issues with this particular information, the fundamental concept of thought creates is what is important. And if you believe that thought creates, it is natural to conclude that our thoughts, beliefs, and definitions create our outer experience. And if this is what creates our outer experience, then only negative beliefs and their accompanying emotions are the root cause of disease. By virtue of the 10 principles listed above, when you blame anyone for anything, you create yourself as a victim and powerless. By taking responsibility for your outer circumstance, you claim your power back. This is power that you had always in the first place, but judgment got in the way. Anything you fear, you give your power to. What causes the fear in the first place? Isn't it the fact that you think the person or outer circumstance is more powerful than you? Outer circumstances don't matter. Only state of being matters. Fear doesn't come from the outside. It comes from within. I have created a website that I call a one-stop shop for healing and maximizing your spiritual growth. I wanted to create a site that contains all the information you need to heal yourself, put your body in optimum immune condition, and to achieve a point of personal sovereignty. The books at the site contain, about 79 pages of condensed information and connects you to another 150 pages. It is located at MaxwellGreenSite.com. It's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, Green as in the color, site.com. In my opinion, our children need to be taught this information, and anyone who seriously cares for your health should be telling you to detox from brain to colon once a year. The body is an amazing self-healing organism where miracles are the norm if it is detoxed and fed proper nutrients. In my opinion, those seriously interested in self-healing or attaining their personal power need to eliminate or seriously limit television viewing as it is harmful to the immune system and DNA. Do the research. Volunteers monitored and hooked up to a screen emit emotions that immediately affects DNA. Who do you want programming your DNA? And lastly, to throw an ET spin on this evening, I've received several questions concerning first contact, and I'd just like to bring you up to date with the most current information that that I have through Bashar. And Bashar, for those who aren't familiar with his background, is Esasani in nature and has been channeling information through Daryl Anka for over 20 years now, In fact, for those that don't know, all that information in The Secret about the Law of Attraction, there isn't one new idea that's come up in that program that Bashar didn't bring up to his students over 20 years ago, and has been expanding upon that ever since. And according to the Bashar information that we may, in point of fact, be having isolated incidents of contact, but the first contact scenario is scheduled more after the year 2012. According to Bashar, Earth is under quarantine until that time. However, the phenomenon that has been known as the Phoenix Lights is one that is a wedge-shaped craft about a mile in length, that whose occupants are the Shalanaya. And according to Bashar, the Shalanaya will be the first extraterrestrial civilization that will be making public first contact with Earth. He's also given further information that in the year 2010, again in the Arizona skies, people will have an opportunity for contact again with Shalanaya, and that in the year 2012, they will be making themselves visible in the skies all around the globe at sacred sites. So I guess I think on ET Yoga about a few months back, this information became available. To my knowledge, it's the first radio broadcast of that information, and I guess you can take it for what it's worth. Everybody has an opinion, and if you follow some of Bashar's advice or teachings, it's kind of hard to find a mistake. So I pass that on to the listeners, as I know many of us are quite interested in extraterrestrial and when are we going to have first contact. And clearly, I know 2 weeks ago on my show, Patricia Corey was on, the author of the Syrian Revelations, and clearly her opinion that contact is imminent, and I think it's clearly going to be imminent in our lives. And I personally will be looking forward to Bashar's statements. And I'd also like to thank everyone for those who have emailed in questions and comments about ET Yoga. And for those who would like to write questions in, you can write questions in at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, one word, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I'd just like to wish everyone full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Have a pleasant evening. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.